I move now to the issue of monotheism, one godism. Was it from Akhenaten the Pharaoh? And did the Jewish people borrow from Akhenaten? Pharaoh Akhenaten, and that was his throne name, Amenophis, Amenhotep IV, lots of different spellings, lots of different variations, was the second son of Amenophis, or Amenhotep III, 14th century man. I want to pick up some important ideas. He took the name Akhenaten, servant of or well-pleasing to Aten, when he established his cult of the sun disk, the god Aten, at Amarna. He regarded the sun disk as the sole god, self-engendered, universal, creator of all things. And he dubbed himself the dazzling sun disk. Not uncommon. The gods were important in Egypt, and the pharaoh had a right to see himself as an embodiment of the god. The ancient Egyptians were not fussy about the fine point of the worship of one god, as opposed to many gods, unless that affected some practical dimension of life, like the use of a temple or its associated land. After Akhenaten's death, he was regarded as a doomed rebel because he had, quote, overthrown the socioeconomic system and had almost disrupted the running of the state. But no one back then ever called him anything like monotheist, whatever lexical form that would have conjured up in the Egyptian language. And certainly no pejorative was ever hurled at him for espousing one god, unquote. This is from one of the leading researchers in Akhenaten, Robert Redford. The notion of a supreme god or soul god appeared before and after Akhenaten, in that the sun god was for quite a long time before Akhenaten regarded as being of high esteem in the theology of Heliopolis, or the sun city, literally. And Aten was an old name for the sun disk. Now I'm going to jump some material just to mention that the ancient Egyptians regarded the supernatural as manifest in plural forms. With me, baby, page 15. Gods, powers of heaven and earth. And during the sophisticated pharaonic state in the 3rd millennium BC, the pantheon of gods became highly centralized and hierarchically ranked. So you have a number of gods, but you could have a supreme god. Amun was the chief god of the Egyptian pantheon. And Akhenaten had studiously tried to get the priests of Amun in Thebes, the Egyptian capital, to switch allegiance to Aten. When he failed in his attempts, he moved the capital to Amarna and called the new capital Akhetaten, the horizon of Aten. His program failed in a sense, but what was very successful was that after he died, a man who came on the throne some years after him studiously demolished anything that would remind anybody that there was an Akhenaten on the throne. They would use his steles or stele to rebuild other buildings. So for quite a number of years in the modern world, nobody could find out anything about Akhenaten. By chance, they discovered some columns and tombs that gave you some hints. But the major written source of Akhenaten's view of the Aten or the sun disk comes from a hymn in praise of the sun god inscribed in the tomb of Aya, his private secretary, and a man who was pharaoh for about 4 years. I give you the reading of the hymn. Let it be known there's not much more that you can find anywhere to tell you anything about what Akhenaten believed in terms of the one god. When thou settest in the western horizon, the land is in darkness, in the manner of death. They sleep in a room with their heads wrapped up. Every lion has come forth from his den. At daybreak, when thou arisest on the horizon, when thou shinest as the Aten by day, thou drivest away the darkness and givest thy rays. All the world, they do their work. O sole God, like whom there is no other. Now I want to say that beyond the common belief in one God, Akhenaten's one God belief, and the Jewish people of the Israelites, one has to examine the content of that belief philosophically, because not all similar beliefs are identical. And similar beliefs may command varying degrees of credibility based on details. We cannot simply go on similarity alone. We have to probe deeper. In a symposium on aspects of monotheism at the Smithsonian Institution in 1996, the leading authority in the world on Akhenaten, Donald Redford, along with three other specialists, faced the audience in a Q&A session. And they asked several questions pertaining to one Godism, the links between Egyptian one Godism under Akhenaten and that of the Israelites. And Redford is answering a question. Here's a question. In your judgment, did Egyptian one Godism influence early Israelite theology? This is what Redford said. Well, if you mean Akhenaten, I don't think it did at all. There is a fact that the traditional monotheism of Moses speaks of one God. And Akhenaten makes it clear that he's dealing with a single God. But Egypt in the Iron Age and later, when Israel and Judah were coming into contact with it, was noted for the multiplicity of deities. Egypt was anything but monotheistic during the Iron Age. Moreover, the monotheism of Akhenaten is so distinct from Yahwism that I wonder why the two are compared. Really, there's very little to Akhenaten's religion. It's been pointed out, for example, that Akhenaten's religion is devoid of ethical content. In Mosaic monotheism, the ethical content is quite extensive. No, I don't see any link, unquote. I want to point out that there is an acute and fundamental philosophical difference between the monotheism of the Bible and that of the Egyptians. The God creator of the Bible is infinite and a person, whereas that of the Egyptians in general, and Akhenaten in particular, was the sun, a contingent entity, a created entity, a thing that came into being in time. The philosophical difference is that biblical monotheism wields explanatory force concerning the origin of anything and everything, including persons and mind, because God is infinite and personal, whereas Egyptian concepts of God and Akhenaten's monotheism lack it, because a contingent material entity is giving rise to everything, including persons and mind. This is a neglected problem for any alleged theory of stealing, borrowing, or influence concerning Egyptian concepts of deity and the biblical one. It is a philosophical note that in spell 15 of the book of Going Forth by Day, popularly called the Book of the Dead, the sun is hailed as the sole deity and as coming into being in time. Here's a quotation. "Hail to you, O Ray, at your rising. O Atom Arakti, the unwearying stars acclaim you. The imperishable stars worship you when you set in the horizon of Manu. The sole one came into existence in the sky before the plains and the mountains existed," unquote. If you check the Bible, you find a different reality. Very uniquely, the Bible talks about God as existing before time. If we are fussy, sans creation, God existed. Without creation, God existed. Things are done by God before the beginning of time, before the world began. I want to note as well the popularity of pictorial and carved depictions of deity in Egyptian sources, and the central taboo on graven images of Yahweh in the allegedly borrowed or stolen Ten Commandments. Exodus 24-5 says, quote, "You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them," unquote. So it may be possible to explain this peculiarity, but I think it's going to be a little bit difficult to explain it if the Ten Commandments are borrowed or stolen or influenced by something Egyptian.